please allow me the opportunity to try to get make this thing come back together. In Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine before who? Y'all gonna follow me here? Now you got your Bibles and it's up there on the board. Now this is a participation giving you an opportunity. Not just you can say you just sat in church. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, it said, let your light shine before who? That they may see what? Your good works. Your good deeds. That's a witness. How many of you got some works? How many of you got some works to glorify God? What are you doing to show the glory of God? That's a question you need to ask yourself this morning. What are you doing to show your glory before the Lord? It says here now, it says, let your light so shine before men, in other words, that men might see it, that they may see your work, and glorify God, and praise your Father who is in heaven. To be a vital witness to the Lord, there will be evidence. Somebody gonna see it other than yourself. You ever hear people say, I don't care what other people say? That ain't what the scripture said. He said, you're going to be a witness for the Lord the way you conduct yourself in your works. You can draw somebody to the Lord based upon your works. Amen? All right. Just stay with me. I'm teaching this morning, so don't get so too relaxed. Witness by words. That was the other thing we talked about. As important as righteous example is, by itself, it's not enough. To reach someone for Christ, they can't know why your life is different of the good news of Jesus Christ unless we open our mouth and tell them. You got to speak it. You got to say a word. You can't always just sing about it. You can't always just pretend about it. You got to tell somebody what God says and what tell somebody or who God is. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. We should not be scared or ashamed to tell others about Jesus. It is God's truth. And it's important to us as believers. People talk about their church but won't talk about Jesus. Y'all missed that. They'll talk about their church. Oh, we have a good, oh, we got all these programs going on at the church. Oh, we do this. You know what I heard somebody doing next one? And then I asked, what you doing? Well, you know, you explaining to me about all the good things your church doing, but what are you doing? You see, when I know I'm hitting home, get quiet, get real quiet. He ain't had to go there. Yeah, he do. If I don't let you know, the devil will try to trick you where you carry on. It's okay. Lord Jesus. This morning, we want to look at something a little different. Let's start with a credible witness. Are you a credible witness? Now, I think we all need to make sure that we're crystal clear and understand the fact that God doesn't need us to make him credible. But he has given us the opportunity to be a part of his divine plan. To be able to show yourself as a credible witness. Please turn to Matthew 28:18, if you will. Most of you who are studying with us on Wednesday evenings, very familiar to this scripture. A credible witness. In Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to who? Jesus said, all authority has been given to him. Where? Say it again. All authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. That means Jesus was letting you know that what God has given him is everywhere. He's got authority over everything. We need to tell all those other religions about the things they're going to do, Farrakhan and all his boys. Listen here. Jesus was given the authority from God in heaven and in earth. All of it is in his dominion. That's important as we're going through this teaching now. Got to remember that he's given it. He says here, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Then he says he gave us an opportunity to be a part of the plan. As he first explained it to the disciples, what's the first word he told them to do? In other words, get up. You got to move now. Got to do something. You got to do something. You got to make something happen. You got to do it. A credible witness got to understand who sent you. Lord Jesus. For I want to help all these people who make excuses all the time. Talk to him. Tell him that. Tell the Lord your excuses. And see how he handled them. And even see how it sounds when you tell him. Tied in this place today. Hallelujah. I feel so free in here because when you know you're speaking the truth, it cuts. Hallelujah. It cuts. That's what Hebrews said. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Cutting wind both ways. Every way that sword go is cutting. Now, some swords only got sharpened on one side. Amen. So when it goes down like that, it cuts. But when you bring it back up, it ain't cutting nothing. The word is like a two-edged sword. It got sharpened on both ends. When it goes down, it cut. When you come back out, it's still cut. Lord Jesus. Then here come the healer. Heal you. Lord Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. And this sounds redundant. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. No, I'm sorry. I need to go back a bit. Go back. I apologize. It says, after go, it gave us our instructions to do when we get up to go. First thing it says, make disciples. We stop making disciples. We make every now and then church people. Show up when you got everything else finished, you can go to church. But disciples are hard to find. Because, listen, the scripture says that we got to, therefore, make disciples. So how do you make disciples? I'm glad you asked. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here's how you make them. Teach them. That's how you make them. You teach them. But nobody don't want to be taught, so they don't want to be disciples. It's just that simple. People who shy away from teaching is simply saying, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. This is the way I know. This is what I understand. This is what I'm comfortable in. But when you're teaching God's way, how many of you realize your way will come nothing? It won't have, you understand that the value of this comes from the Lord and your credibility comes from God. Because let me tell you something. When all else has failed, people don't care nothing about what you say anyway. It's what the word says. What the God has to say about the matter. It says here, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, you got to remember something. When Jesus was talking now to his disciples, he was talking to the one who he was already having Bible study with. You ain't see we in the Bible where Jesus had Bible study? Yes, it is. After the multitude was born, guess what he said? Come here, fellas. sit down. Let me explain something to you. Let me teach you of what's to come. Now, here's the first thing I want to bring to your attention. If the disciples, and we mentioned this last time, what if the disciples said, I'm not going to witness no more? Where would that leave you and I? Helpless. Without a word. But now that the disciples took what God said, we're going to see how much it meant to the growth of the kingdom. Because they were credible witnesses. On last time, we looked at Acts 1:8. Turn there. Y'all ain't getting sleepy? All right. Thank you. On last time, we said in Acts 1:8, we read Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive what? We need power to do this. Listen, folk. I've seen it. We've seen it. We've experienced folk who start out but just didn't hold out. I was talking to a sister just this morning about the inconsistency in our ministry. Do anybody know what spiritual characteristic traits are? Anybody know what toolboxes are? You remember back in January? Whoa, way back in January, when a lot of us was making boxes and talking about tools and going through that thing and how exciting it was. But for 6 weeks, months later, guess what? What is that you talking about now? Toolbox. Characteristic traits. We don't stay in it enough to let the Lord get the glory out of it. We just stayed enough till we chewed all the gum out. I seen you chewing just now, brother. We get all the sweet out of them. We ready to dispose it for us. But we got to do it for the glory of God. God got to get the glory out of it. I remember when I was a kid coming up. As long as there was singing, playing the piano, music going on, tambourines going, man, I'm with it. I'm with it. Soon as all that hush, my eyes got heavy. Seemed like as soon as I seen the preacher, something just came over me. Come on, somebody. Yeah. The word, the meat of it all, that we got to understand what's going to help us along the way. Sometimes we just lose sight of because we don't have the power to sustain. Now, where are we going to get this power from? Again, here it is right here. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own. Look at the Bible, the Peter. Look what Peter went through before he was empowered with the Holy Spirit. He didn't went around there and cut a dude ear off. Lord, this is what you want me to do? Yeah. Jesus had to teach him. Put your sword away. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's not the fight I'm talking about, Peter. But you know when the Holy Ghost came upon Peter, Peter was a credible witness. He stood up and preached about Jesus. And we talked about this last time. He stood up and preached about Jesus in front of those folk. And you know what they told him? Say, I'm threatening you. You do it again. We're going to kill you. And Peter said, do what you will to me, but this man that I'm talking about, I must call his name. I must preach about the name of Jesus. You can preach about anything else, they said, but just don't preach Jesus. Peter was like, I'm paraphrasing. Peter was like, what else am I going to preach about? Credible witness. What I want to bring to you today is this. How many of you trying to do this thing on your own? You can't do it. You got to be the power of the Holy Spirit that drives you. Sustain you, to give you the desire to want more from God. Hallelujah. The flesh had got his desires, and we satisfy the flesh. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm hungry, Ain't nothing going to satisfy me but food. I want some food. My flesh is hungry. What's wrong with you? I'm hungry. Why are you acting like that? I'm hungry. And how many of us realize when you don't eat often, you can get irritable? Can I talk to all them people who died in for a while? When you're on a diet and you're trying to lose weight, don't your patience and your tolerance, it best you just leave me alone. Because the very thing that keeps my flesh strong is absent. But we'll crave the spirit. We'll become malnutrition, as we say, spiritually. But we won't do it physically. Folk will steal for a hot dog. Bag of chips. Lord have mercy. Some of y'all remember when you was kids? Cookies. I ain't going to tell on us, Brother Cherry. I ain't going to tell it. Yeah, I am going to tell it. He ain't did it. I know I did. Going through the cafeteria line in college. Going through the cafeteria line. Lady turned her head. I got a piece of chicken in my pocket. Biscuit roll or something. Because I know what they was going to give me wasn't going to be enough. And see, some of us got to understand we greedy. And we want more than what they're going to give us. That it really is enough, but greed comes in. And I guess that's where the Lord took that same zeal and brought me to the word. Hallelujah. Just can't get enough. Yeah, yeah. Just always want some more. Something to help make me spiritually strong, because I know the enemy gonna come up against me. He gonna come up against my body, my finance, my relationship. He gonna come. I gotta have enough to be able to stand up against that rascal. Lord Jesus, you need the word. We need it. Can we move forward? The Bible goes on and says, listen now. It says, but when you receive this power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. You, me, going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That latter part of that scripture, I did some research on it, and see, I think a lot of times people seem to think there's a sequential order. That first you got to do it at home, and then you got to do it other place. But you got to do them all. It's our responsibility to do them all. I'm moving on a little further here. The text let us know that we cannot do this assignment unless we are equipped by the Holy Spirit. You can't do it based on how you feel. Have mercy, somebody. Because we know sometimes we have some bad days and they ain't just one or two. So if my works are based upon how I feel, ain't much going to get done. But I go to John's job. Ain't feeling worth a dime, as folks say. But I done punched in. And I'm going to be there the full time, because my flesh knows I need something that it has to offer. But I understand something as a spiritual being, that also my spirit must be fed, that I might be able to do the assignment that God has in front of me, because one day I understand payday coming. Man, if they take a nickel off my check, I know it. And I'm going to make a little fuss about it, too. Y'all cutting me short this week. I ain't by myself, because you know if they start out with nickel, next week it might be a quarter. You let that $2 start coming off there. My check ain't right this week. Where you going? I'm going to personnel. Somebody going to have to. I'm going to Mother Jackson. Amen. But thank God they have it every penny. Because I know payday. I've done what's required. Follow me. Follow me. When you stand before the Lord and God say, I made provisions for you. I did everything that I did to make you worthy of going after your assignment. Why you didn't do it? Why you didn't do it? I didn't feel good. But you went to John's place when you didn't feel good. You went to the governor. You did your assignment. Why you didn't do mine? I've only given you assignment that didn't require much, but just required faithfulness. Faithfulness. Sister said something this morning that just rung a bell in me. God is faithful. He ain't never talking about he don't feel like it. He ain't never talking about he ain't got time. He's faithful. And if he is faithful, he's calling us to be faithful. All right, I want y'all to bear with me as I bring this portion of it home. I want to read from you from the book of Acts, 7th chapter. I'll begin reading at the 51st verse. Another one of God's witnesses was in a position to speak to the Hellenic Council. And he had to speak the truth in Acts 7:51. And this is what he said. You got something you want to say? Amen. Come on, talk with me, not about me, okay? Acts 7:51. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resisting the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you resist the Holy Spirit? The truth. The Holy Spirit gonna speak the truth. The Holy Spirit makes it known that he's going to only say and confirm what Jesus has already spoken. And Jesus is the Word, made flesh to dwell among us. Am y'all following me here? He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your father not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you know have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard, y'all stay with me now. When they heard these things, what happened? They were cut. What did we say that word to do? It cut. That ain't my word. This is what the scripture said. And they gnashed their teeth. And that's what they did back in there. But folk these days, they do all on kind of other little mischief stuff. They smirk under their breath. They make comments and they snickle and they giggle and they cuss you. And they call you everything but a child of God. They don't just gnash their teeth. They pull out a pocket blade. They got a piece in their pockets. They come against you. They come to churches and shoot you up. See, that's a dangerous place when you ain't in the Lord. Let me help you here. It could have been anyone else. If you ain't in the Lord, you're subject to do anything. You remember we talked about being malnutrition in the Word? You see how angry you can get? That thing can grow. But he, Stephen this is, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing where? Two important things here. The Bible always brings up Jesus as sitting on the right hand. But on this occasion, because of this witness, Jesus stood up. I don't stand up for everything. I'm just telling the truth. I just don't stand up for everything. Because something got to be different between what I do for the Lord and for everybody else. A lot of people, you know, they talked about me when I don't give ovations to different things. I mean, that's their thing. I mean, that's just, okay, that's fine with you. But, you know, the highest power, if I can't give an ovation to God, then I'm not going to give the same thing I give to God to man. That's just me. Now, I ain't going to jail if Obama walking here and they tell me you're going to either stand up or go to jail. Guess what's going to happen? Yes, sir. Strength just came to my legs just that quick. Bless the name of Jesus. Made me lost my place. They were cut to the hearts and they gnashed in the teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Glory of God now as Jesus stood on the right hand and said, look, this is what Stephen said. Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. How many know when you're in the Spirit, you can see things a way that other folk can't see? You ain't in the Spirit, you can see that. Hallelujah, somebody. When you ain't in the Spirit, all you see is darkness and despair. You can't make it above this. But when you got the Spirit of the Lord, when you in the Spirit of God, you can see beyond what your situations are. Preach up in here, Scott. Somebody going to receive this to understand. If I look beyond where I am and see the glory of God, how many know that God will reciprocate that thing and bring the glory back down to you? Hallelujah. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stop your ears up. In other words, they didn't even want to hear what Stephen had to say. Man, you're talking crazy. Shut your ears up. He's talking crazy. He's talking out his head. But yeah, when you ain't talking with the way the world like for you to talk, they don't want to hear you. If you ain't calling ladies, demeaning them and calling them bees, come on, hear somebody. You ain't going to make nothing on your record. Oh, y'all, some of y'all might, don't let that fly by you. If you can make people feel down and letting them know you're going to cut them or shoot them or what you're holding in your pants. As far as that, you know, you're going to make money on. That's what the world want to hear. That's what's on sale. That's what our kids listening to. Hallelujah, somebody. That's what we love. That's what we gravitate to. Believe it or not, even on TV, on the movie, if it ain't gotten violence, then we ain't want to see it. And now I was just about careful to that thing myself one time. I'm like, this is a little too slow. Ain't no action in it. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, cut it off. Don't watch nothing there. How many of you can go home and actually don't cut your TV on? You know, that's some people can't do it. Soon step into. And what do you get? Something you can't sit there with Jesus and watch. Come on here, somebody. If everything you watch on TV, if you say Jesus, you're welcome to watch it with me. You ain't watching much. You don't even want to watch the news. Lord have mercy. The Bible goes on to say this. They said, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. In other words, they rushed the brother. Are you following me? And they cast him out of the city and did what? Stone him. Now, let me explain to you about stoning again. The intent of stoning is not like we used to throw rocks. Sometimes we throw rocks to scare people. Most of the time, you ain't going to hit nobody. Because if you hit somebody, you got to fight. You better be ready to fight. But when they say stone him, they had nice size rocks with the intent of killing him. Now, he could have stopped this thing anytime and said, oh, yo, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. We all right. We good. But they ran him out of town. They stoned him. Watch this now. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named. Now, you got to watch this and catch this. When they was taking out one, God was preparing another. Oh, glory. Don't ever think he's going to stop with you. If your time is up, God is already preparing somebody else. He got to have a credible witness here on earth. I don't know about y'all today, but I want my witness to be credible. I want the way I live and what I look like and how I conduct myself is to bring glory to God. Obviously, you have to look at me every Sunday. You know what God told me? Get your temple right where people can see me. You glorify me by your words, but not start working on your temple, because it's going to help somebody else in working on their temple. Come on, somebody. You can't put God in a box and say God is just this. God is more than just this. He's everything. He's a holistic of the whole body. So therefore, when you and I walk, people can see the glory of God, not just based on what we say. They can look at you and tell you walking in the word of God. Hallelujah. You feasting on the word of God. You can tell who eating butter, beans, and cornbread and who eating light bread and cheese and bologna. You can tell the difference. Y'all ain't like that. You can tell who eat vegetables and eating the right stuff and not drinking sodas. And you can tell. Ooh, we're getting tight in here. Ooh, it's tight. Huh. I don't care what he said. I'm going to drink my Mountain Dew. I'm going to have my Coca-Cola, Kool-Aid. Come on, somebody. And then when the doctor say, you borderline diabetic, it's hard to take that thing away. Hallelujah. Living witness to it. Amen. It's hard to take away those very things that you have made your flesh happy with. I won't get finished here. The Bible says, it goes on to say in the 59th verse, and they stoned Stephen. They stoned the brother as he was preaching. They stoned him as he was preaching. The Bible, the word says it like this. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive me. Even though he was prosecuted and being stoned to death, he still was calling on his God. How many of us can call on God in the midst of all that we go through, talked about, scandalized, call everything but a child of God, but you're still calling on the one who called you out of darkness? Hallelujah. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. The brother was dead. But what a living witness. What a credible witness. Even at the point of death, he was saying, Lord, forgive them. Sounding like somebody else I heard. Saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many know if you're a credible witness, you're going to do it until? See, somebody said it. Do it unto death. Age ain't got nothing to do with it. Age ain't got nothing to do with it. If you're alive, you're a witness. You can be a witness. And what God has called us to, he said he will equip us. But you got to be available and willing to be equipped. So today, in all of that being said, it all goes back to, are you a credible witness? We've started something here at the church, many of you not even familiar with, that we're witnessing to one another and to partner each other to make disciples out of each other. And there's probably, what, 15? 15 that comes on Wednesday? It hurts me to the heart. But we find a way to show up on Sunday. Because we want to feel like we get the gravy. But we need the nourishment. It hurts me to the heart. And I know if it hurts me, I know what it's doing to Jesus. I died for you. To learn of me. Take time and become credible. I really said one time I wasn't going to use this example, but I'm going to use it. How many of you have ever been to court or heard of court and somebody have to be a character witness for you? Some of the things they ask you about a character witness is, first they might ask you, where do you work? Now you're asking the character witness to stand up before you. They say, well, I ain't working right now. That's drag. Y'all follow me now? Where did you go to school? Well, I went for 11th grade, but I quit. Guess what? That's strike number two. You ain't credible. You ain't showing no credibility. Who is your family? I ran off from my family years ago. I think they're somewhere in Montana. You got any family here in the state? No. Who is your friends? Who is your circle of friends who you're with? Well, one of them down there at the Bluff Road, down there to the center. What center? The detention center. Yeah. Now, not the park, but to Allen. Was it Alvin? See, I don't even want to know the real name. The other one, they know Sister Young. She worked to that place. That's where my other buddy is. The correctional place. The other one down there. Guess what? That's strike three and four. But tell me something about this person who you're standing in their behalf. How many of you really think the judge will value much what they have to say? Now, here you are. You're a child of God. God, my first thing he want to ask you, are you saved? And both of us say, yeah, Lord. Oh, thank the Lord I'm saved. You know what God might ask? How you know? How you know you're saved? Who told you you were saved? I feel saved. Well, you say you're saved. What do you work in the kingdom? What is your assignment in the kingdom of God? What have you been faithful to over the years? I used to be when I was younger, I did. When I wasn't working on these Sundays, I did. Or when I fell up to it. Are you a credible witness? What do you stand for? What do you stand for? Some of us don't realize what that song says. May the work I've done, better not say that too loud. Because it's easy to sing it. But when folk, okay, I'm going to look at your works you've done. Truly look at what you've done and you're doing. Because you're still here. Amen, somebody. You're still here. You ain't dead yet. We're still here. I heard somebody say hallelujah. Thank God we ain't dead yet. So what did that mean? That give us a chance to get it right. Lord, from this day forward, I hear what you're saying. I am not a credible witness, but I'm going to change things with your divine help. Because I believe in you, all things are possible. I can come out of this mess I'm in, that the devil got blinders on me and I don't want to be taught the word of God. I don't want to sit under the authority of the teaching to be knowing what God wants, not what I want. And I make myself credible in the sight of God. And my brothers and sisters, as we conclude here today, some of you have been hearing sermons all your life. Some of you can even quote sermons and can remember them. But what good is it if it don't put you in the path of righteousness? What good is it to be able to know what he says and still on exercising faith? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't go through all this motion and all this that still miss heaven. Because I wasn't willing to go all the way in the Lord. And that's what God calling us to. He ain't want no half runners. He won't run us who want to go the distance. Quiet place in here. And I hope and pray that your quietness is meaning that you are listening and absorbing what God has to say. I'm finished. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it.